So, this week we're here with Sam Parlett, and we're here to discuss spirituality and the afterlife. So, Sam, what do you believe happens after we die?
Well, I would like to think that we go on to some state of existence that you can't explain. I'd like to think that there was something, we came out of something, and there wasn't like an exact plan, but you can't know what happens when you die. I'd like to think that something happens, but whatever brought us here didn't want us to know what happens when we die, because then that defeats the purpose of living and having the ability to make choices and have a life. You can't do that if you know what happens when you die. But I would like the comfort of thinking that something does happen and you will continue to exist in some manner.
So your skepticism is disallowing you from achieving that sense of believing in an afterlife. It's holding you back.
Yeah, I mean,
because without any evidence,
I see people who think they found evidence of seeing somebody that they know send them a message from the grave or something, and when I see things like that, they seem stupid to me, and I don't believe it. And if I was in their shoes, I would be too quick to shrug it off as nothing, just a coincidence. But I try and find things that are unique enough that they wouldn't disprove what I think, but there's no real way to prove what I believe.
What was the earliest memory you have of this sense of disbelief or this sense of skepticism?
It all started when I was in seventh grade and my grandpa died, and I had a dream where he was at my house, and I don't know how I knew he was at my house, but I had left my room in this dream and went down to the kitchen because I just knew he was there, and I heard something behind me, and I was going to turn around, but then I woke up. And in that moment, I wish I had turned around in my dream. But then I got to thinking about if that really happened, and would I have the guts to turn around, or even would I want to turn around? Because at that moment, in that kitchen in my dream, if that were to actually happen, something was just telling me that he was there, and he knew, like he was still existed, you know? And if I turned around, and I found something else that had made the noise, like some kind of coincidence where my dog had been left downstairs and just ran into something or anything to disprove what I pretty much knew at that point, I wouldn't want to. So looking back, I wouldn't want to turn around. I would just kind of stand there and soak up the moment.
You don't want not seeing that ghost could shatter your sense of belief.
Yeah. I mean, my belief, and a lot of religions are set up this way to keep people faithful. They're set up in a way where they explain it so that you can't disprove.
Right.
And that's what I'm striving for, but I can't believe in something that somebody else made up. And religion is kind of there to comfort people, but I'm too skeptical to buy into this.
Religion is kept as such a commonality, and it's kept as very believable in its unbelievability, because it relates to people on a comfort level, and if anyone questions it, it's usually condoned.
I saw this this interview with a guy after Hurricane Katrina, and his house was a mess; it was in pieces, and he just smiled at the camera and said, "It's all in God's hands to where it's not your problem to worry about." And that, I mean, that was kind of nice to see, that a guy could have that kind of faith with his government lying to him and his little shack lying in ruins. Not that it was very good to begin with, but, I mean, he found quality in his very low quality life.
Would you say that if you were put in his shoes, in his situation, would you try to follow the same path, like trying to believe it's something else, that something's going to help you, or are you just too skeptical? Would you be able to survive?
I'm too skeptical, too realistic. And I think, like, from where he was from, he looked like the type of guy who went to church when he was a little kid and his parents told him. And he never really grew out of it. He never questioned it, because that's just how it was. And a lot of kids are like that, but my parents didn't really... I mean, we celebrate Christmas, so I guess we're Christian, but we don't go to church. We don't really... We don't say grace. I haven't read the Bible.
In so many families, this is very common. And it's a new wave, and it's really beneficial to both kids and families, because you're seeing religion as something that doesn't necessarily have to be needed. It's something that exists and that some people choose to believe in, but that for others, that's just it isn't relevant, because they're too skeptical or technical or scientific, whatever you want to put it as. But then for others, it gives them that sense of belief in something that is completely unknown and, you know, in a sense, magical.
Yeah, and I wish I could believe that. Like, especially with psychics, the people who... I mean, I don't know the whole history of their religion. It's not very common that you see one. So when you see one, you think, there's no way they're making a living out of this if they don't know something that I don't know.
Right.
And a lot of times they can read your palm and come up with some kind of reading. And most of the time, it's totally bull. And I wouldn't believe them. And I would just say, no, you knew that. You could tell that by looking at me. Or you could tell because you did some background on me, because I called here before I came, and Google does exist. You know, you could find that on my Facebook page or something.
If anything, that's going to make you more skeptical when someone who you'd think to be directly in link with spirituality to not be able to give you clear guidance and to basically be using you as money in their pocket.
Yeah, but so I would never go to one of these psychics, but. At the same time, it kind of just explains my belief, is that some people do believe these psychics and they find comfort in it. And I wish I could find that kind of comfort, because they never say bad things. They never say like, oh, your husband's standing right there next to you and he blames you for his death, or he's asking why you're sleeping with some other guy now. It's always good things. It's always, oh, he tells you you should move on. He tells you that it's okay. And they're doing a great thing for some people. But if I were to have that done, I couldn't do it. I'd just be like, no way. What are you writing down on that notepad? That's nothing. How much am I paying you for?
Exactly. That's where spirituality becomes a business, and that it questions the notion of God or an afterlife, just like completely.
But I'd like to think, I choose to believe that there's something after we die. And choosing to believe something isn't very easy, because you can go to church every Sunday and say, oh, I'm going to go to heaven. But if you don't believe it, you're not going to get the comfort. So what's the point of saying you're going to go to heaven? If it doesn't comfort you, then it does nothing for you if you don't actually really believe it.
Some people who commit themselves to religion go on endless... almost journeys in search of proof, or in search of like inner belief of a higher power or a place in heaven, or however you want to phrase it. But if you're truly this skeptical, would you be able to follow that path?
I wouldn't, because especially with heaven, where you do good and you go there, and you do bad and you go to the other place. The word is heaven, but a lot of people have different rules that are set guidelines for what you do. But I think that because some people say if you do something bad, but then you truly regret it, you can still get into heaven. But that's just, I mean, that's cheap. I don't know how it's worded, but I think that you go on to some other state of existence, and then if, and this I've seen this a lot. If you have something you need to do, if you have something that's keeping you from passing on to that state of existence, that's when ghosts happen. But I mean, and it sounds silly, but I'm going to say it anyway, because like, I do believe in ghosts. I just want to be haunted. Even if it's totally scary, I'll get out of there and I would find comfort in that.
Right. It's proof in something. It shows that there's something, you know, more magical or spiritual, you know, beyond our universe, or, and that there's something parallel to us.
And I love that.
Right. That there's almost something to look forward to in that. But if you can't find the evidence, if you haven't seen it, then it's impossible to envision.
Yeah. And that's the thing, though. If you don't see the evidence, you know, there's not much evidence against it.
Right.
Because it's one of those theories that's not really scientifically, it doesn't have a leg to stand on. But the other thing is that you can't think too much about the end, because if you're thinking about the end, then your life isn't as, it's not as free, because you think, like, even if I don't make it, even if I don't do the best I can in this life, you know, there's something after life, so my life's too late. I can't really go back to school. I can't really get a good career. I'm good with this, and, you know, I'll find peace afterwards. But I think if you aren't happy with your life, if you don't find peace with your life when you die, then you don't pass on. You linger and regret until finally you have the ability to just get over what you couldn't, what you can't change now, and pass on.